Coming up on Patriots This Week, this was not a football game, but a passion play. Not only from the players.
I'm gonna make 12 look like Tom Brady again today, baby.
But also from the faithful in the stands.
That was awesome. We have great fans. We get great support.
Embarrassed in Kansas City, the Patriots answered a week of criticism, proving reports of their death were greatly exaggerated.
You know, we always talk about what Patriot football is, and I think you saw it tonight.
Now the challenge is within their division. It's a first-place battle in Buffalo.
This is football. This is what you play for.
That's right now on Patriots This Week.
Apocalypse not. The sky did not fall. This is not the end. It's amazing what 60 minutes of football can do from one week to the next. Hello again, everyone. Welcome to Patriots This Week. I'm Scott Zolak, and joining me each and every week as usual, former tight end Jermaine Wiggins. What up, Wiggy?
What up, Zo?
Former linebacker Matt Chatham. I give you a fist pump, but you're way over there, and I might hurt my shoulder or something. Guys, we've got to talk about one thing, and I think the word of the week, emotion. You know, I'm standing down there on the sidelines. You saw number 12 come out for the pregame warm-up, but I'm not big to read into body language or, you know, how great a pregame is. But he came out, he was excited, he was angry. Did Tom Brady have anything to prove going into this game as far as, I got to lead, I got to show him a leader, I got to set the tone with being emotional?
I've always seen Tom as being an emotional quarterback. I don't understand where people feel like he's not. I mean, if things are going great, you see him on the sidelines, you see that emotion. If things are not going great, he's like any other player where he's now frustrated, and that emotion, you see it come out in a negative way. But I don't think he necessarily had to prove anything. I just think that he felt like this is a game that we had to go out there and show everybody, hey, we are a real good football team.
You have a room full of guys that are 10 years prior to Tom's even first career. You know, like They are new to this guy, and there's an accountability to him as well. You don't want to get him hurt. I mean, you want to give him sort of the presence he needs and the space he needs to do what he needs to do. So I think it really goes both ways. Tom, you give it to me, I'll provide you the offense you want. You don't give it to me. You know, it's that thing that in team sports I don't think people outside often get, where we really feel like it draws you in closer and you feel really accountable. Like, I've been playing that well this week, and when I don't, it affects you. And when you don't play that well, it kind of affects Zoe. And that's really what draws team back together and get right back on the right track.
There's something to be said, I think, for Kansas City. You go back to the Kansas City week, and there was some mulling around. There was a hanging of heads, and if your leader's doing it, I mean, as a young guy, you tend to act like the guy that's leading the troops. But I mean, that's not why they play bad in Kansas City. It was because Brady cashed it in. There were people. We heard it all week that he melded it in a second.
Yeah, but it's even.
I didn't believe that for 1 second.
It's even like people who say this week, well, you know, the reason why they won the game is because he had something to prove. No, it's because the offensive line played well and they kept him upright. So now it gives him the time that he needs to find the open receiver.
So they take Ryan Wendell, they put him at right guard. Conley's over at left, and then you got the Stork, Brian Stork, in the middle. Seems like Matt, you know, this is a pretty good group of five moving forward. It's got to get better. You know, it's not just about one game. They need to put this together for about 3 or 4 games till they get rolling here.
Yeah.
But did you like what you saw from the front?
Oh, absolutely. Both left guard and right guard. Dan Connolly is an athletic guy, even though he's a little heavier. Ryan Wendell is an athletic guy. They'll pull. They'll leave their spot and go to the other side of the ball. They'll get out in space and they can block well. It sort of expands what you can do as the offense. But again, pump the brakes on all this because each and every week is a different matchup. I don't know this yet, but because we've seen them change so many times, I don't think we should yet gamble that they might not do it again. So just understand there'll be different kinds of defensive tackles and gaps, and maybe they'll feel like a matchup-based thing. They may need to change it. I don't know, but for that approach, it worked perfect. Both tackles do a lot of the same things. Now both guards do a lot of the same things. So when you align, you don't see a run side or a pass side. You don't see a strength.
Gotcha. You're talking symmetry down the middle.
It could go either way, and that really helps. When you went heavy with Cannon and playing a little out of position and playing guard, and you're Dan at the other side, those are two different people. So you can kind of get a little bit of a pre-snap key. Now I don't think you have that.
They gave the ball to Ridley 27 times. What would you think of his style of running? It seems like when he turned a corner when nothing was there, he put the shoulder down.
He's a guy who his first 15 to 20-yard quickness is exceptional. It's really good, and he's very strong, and he's patient. So I loved what we saw at him, and we got to see him run the edges a little bit. You got to see him downhill a little bit. You got to see him do a lot of things. I think anytime you get the ball in the hand that many times for that dude, it's a good thing for your roster.
Seems like let's go to the tight end here, former tight end Jermaine Wiggins. Gronkowski off the pitch count. Meaning, yeah. You know, it seems like he's up and running. Yeah. That's the Gronkowski we came to know and love.
Well, yeah, I think you start to see his comfort level come back, you know, his comfort level in his knee, and he knows, okay, it is ready to go, it is strong. And I think, you know what game he might have kind of felt that a little bit was against the Kansas City Chiefs when he ran that slant. He had like four or five guys he's dragging in the end zone. He's not thinking about it. And at that point, maybe he says, you know what? I can do the things that I am used to doing. And we saw him in this game. You know, he runs a nice 10-yard out route. He breaks on that. He breaks right in on that leg, catches the ball, comes up out of the tackle. Rather than think about going out of bounds, which I'd still like to see him maybe, he says, you know what? I'm going to run this guy over. But to me, when you have a Gronkowski that is close to 100%, or once he gets to 100%, you can do so many different things with this offense because teams can't just focus on, you know, where are we going to go? We're going to have to double team Gronk, and now other guys are going to be open.
So you're saying there's no more old man in young man's body? That's dead now?
I don't know who came up with that one.
I believe it was some guy named Steve Young, but to me that was one of the dumbest critiques I've ever heard.
He's cerebral. Steve's smart.
I actually think he's a great analyst, but I mean, let's just be fair to the kid who's gone through a very difficult rehab, and we all know what month he's in at that rehab. So to make a pronouncement about where he is in his life or his career, come on.
Comfort level. How can you not be guarded? The knee was shredded. And give Gronkowski credit on a touchdown catch because the safety came up and tried to put the hat on the right knee, stepped right through it, came through it, and that's going to help build confidence for Rob Gronkowski. All right, let's talk about the defense because what an effort. But the story, Darrelle Revis. I mean, you pay the guy that type of money. He's standing over the ball. He matched up all day long with A.J. Green. What'd you make of Revis?
I think he did a terrific job. And if you look at that game, he was going everywhere with A.J. Green. And the one thing he was doing, he was playing up close to him, line of scrimmage, getting his hands on. There were a couple double moves that A.J. Green ran. And granted, he runs real sloppy routes. But Revis basically was running the route for him because he's now in an area where he can get his hands on him at the line of scrimmage. He does a good job. You know, we know what Revis can do. But he has a good job and a good feel of the game. And I think he did a tremendous job. Even on the play that he stripped A.J. Green, he was still right there in his hip pocket, and that's what it allowed him to make that play. And if you look at Revis throughout the first 4 weeks of the season or whatever we're in here, he's relatively been close to guys. Even when they catch the football, he's still right there.
What I liked that I thought that was pretty cool is they were in that groove. He's following everywhere. He's manning. He's doing a lot of press. It gets to a 3rd and 7 or 8, and they backed them off. And the reason that matters is because if you've seen what they've done for a few plays, then you start to build in man beaters.
Yep. Yeah.
So when you run a man beater in a zone, it doesn't work. And they got off on 3rd down on one of those plays.
And man beaters are, in essence, crossing routes.
So it's like, okay, wow, they're doing this stuff. So they're sort of matching us that way. Let me build in the man beater. And then when you play zone, you just pass all those off.
Yep.
So one defender gets the other receiver, and everything works really well.
Can I talk about Brandon Browner, activated this week. How do you see him fitting in, Matt? First start with you.
They have a very good tight end in Scott Chandler that's sort of a red zone target. We saw in the past how Tlaib would occasionally draw that body type, so maybe potentially Browner has one role out in the field, a different role once you get in the red zone.
Maybe they might want to say, okay, we're going to play zone, but we want you to be aggressive at the line of scrimmage. Try to jam a guy. Maybe say Sammy Watkins. Let's use him for example. Try to jam Sammy. Be as aggressive as you can within that 5-yard barrier, and then you're going to let him go to the safety or something. So you might be able to use his skill set in the sense that we can be physical with players and play zone behind them rather than him being his first game and try to play man for a bunch of snaps.
All right, guys, good stuff right there, because coming up next we're going to talk about a former Patriot who had a pretty good day behind center and a certain quarterback. I think he plays for the New York Jets, struggling to tell time. That's all next.
Patriots This Week is brought to you by Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots, and by Ace Ticket, the official fan travel partner of the Patriots, and Putnam Investments, a proud partner of the New England Patriots, pursuing performance excellence through new ways of thinking.
He helped right the wrong. 24-year-old Tim Wright busted out with an impact game versus Cincinnati. The 6'4", 220-pound tight end out of Rutgers burned the Bengals' secondary 5 times for 85 yards, including a 17-yard touchdown catch. Tim Wright showed the athleticism New England is looking for to complement Rob Gronkowski. The Putnam Player Spotlight is brought to you by Putnam Investments, pursuing performance excellence through new ways of thinking.
Welcome back to Patriots This Week here inside the luxurious Bob's Discount Furniture Studios. And guys, we've got to talk about Brian Hoyer, former quarterback here with the Patriots. His team, the Cleveland Browns. Now, I'm not a big Cleveland fan. I'm sure you guys aren't either. But they're down 25 points to the Tennessee Titans. And look at the whole Brian Hoyer story. Finally gets the chance last year, blows the knee out, comes back from surgery. They draft Johnny Football. He's going to be the future. Not so fast. What do you make of the Brian Hoyer story? Matt, first start with you.
It makes sense. I think that's the big part of this.
And he's a good guy. One of those ones that runs the offseason program, works hard.
Well, I guess my point would be just that the translation between college and spread offenses and NFL programs where you have to make all the calls at the line, it's a big job. And I think we got lulled into the idea that you could just come off the streets like RG3 did from Baylor and come in and have a very successful first year. And I think a lot of people said, you know, Johnny could do that too. Just throw Johnny in there, let him play recess, and everything will go well. I think the script is flipped a little on that because we've seen RG3 struggle a little bit in year two and three. Granted, there's been injuries. Mm-hmm. But I think that plays into it where the steady guy, the guy that minimizes mistakes, the guy that runs the show, feels better early. Now, Johnny can learn it. Who knows where he'll be 2 or 3 years from now, but I kind of would have gambled prior to this season that Brian could lead the ship and would probably be the best bet for that.
Yeah, and you've seen him do a pretty good job as far as the little bit of time he played here as a backup. He has a guy to learn behind Brady, go there, and he was playing well before he got hurt.
Yeah, I mean, he's over 1,000 yards. You're averaging over, 250 a game, 6 touchdowns, 1 pick, and that's one of the biggest comebacks on the road for that franchise. Speaking of franchises, the New York Jets just seem to step into it more and more. I really don't know who's running the ship down there, whether it's Idzik, the GM, whether it's Rex Ryan, the head coach. Their quarterback, Geno Smith, missed a team meeting. Mm. Now, you guys, I don't think you've missed a team meeting ever in your life, have you? I haven't.
No.
I played 11 years. I mean, hey, you don't miss team meetings because you don't play if you miss them. Yet, the head coach still played, the quarterback, who said he went to a movie on West Coast time. Is it the Mike Vick era now, and should it be the Mike Vick era?
I think Mike Vick is probably going to be the guy moving forward. Whether or not he's going to help the team, we'll find out. But I don't really think Rex Ryan or Geno Smith has much time. I don't think Rex Ryan makes it through the remainder of the season. Geno will make it through the remainder of the season because, obviously, they drafted him. But I don't think Rex Ryan makes it. I think that organization, and then you just add to this.
You're
completely
setting it up for Thursday night. He's going to get fired up
hot
the next Thursday night, isn't
hot
he?
Yeah.
No, here's the thing. So I see a path where it could have worked for them, but they didn't establish a run game. And I think Rex, from the very beginning, when Rex walked in, the way he was able to do it is he had a run game and he played exceptional defense and he was very difficult to game plan for. You go out in free agency, you spend some good money on Chris Johnson. That's supposed to be the explosive element. Chris Ivory's kind of a hammer. You know, maybe that's going to be, you know, who you are. And then the quarterback just needs to not make mistakes. The problem is Geno makes a lot of mistakes, and the running game is okay but not great. And the defense gets stressed. They lost a lot of guys in the back end from injury, all these kind of things. So, yes, you know, the quarterback situation is chaos, but I think it's a little bit like here in that when little pieces start falling apart, that one position looks much worse.
All right, guys, good stuff. Big showdown in the AFC East as we talk about this Buffalo Bill team. That's all next on Patriots This Week. All right, Bills Mafia, about ready to introduce you to Mr. Revis, Revis Island. Why? Because you got a heck of a rookie named Sammy Watkins. We're going to take a look at it. Freeze it right there. Trips formation down at the bottom, Sammy Watkins at the top. Go ahead and run this. It's not a great route, but what makes this go is speed. Right there, little underneath action, and what he does, run east to west, not north and south. Darrell Revis should have no problem taking care of that one. But watch this play right here. You're going to see Sammy Watkins, bottom of your screen. Watch him freeze up the defender. A little shake and bake to the outside. Gives him inside leverage. And that's a good stick on him right there. So he has the ability to pluck the football. But you've got to get up in his face. You can't allow him to get free releases right here like this. 8 yards off the ball. Comes in. Ball's thrown a little early. But he shows great concentration. The guy's got speed. He has the ability to pluck the football. Sammy Watkins, meet Mr. Revis. There's your Zo Show.
The Zo Show is brought to you by Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots.
All right, the show you're watching is Patriots This Week. We're here inside the Bob's Discount Furniture Studios. It's on to Buffalo. Bills Mafia, here we come. Now, guys, we got to start with the quarterback. First of all, it was E.J. Manuel's team. You know, it's Buffalo. Hey, they get a big win out in Detroit. Cal Orton leads them to that win. Start with you, Matt. Look at Cal Orton versus E.J. Manuel. One's a mobile guy, one's not. Does he have enough experience? He's got a really bad mustache. I like your mustache. So you look like Billy Dee Williams, but he looks more like Uncle Rico from Napoleon Dynamite. What do you make of Orton, and how do they defend him?
you don't defend him. You defend the play calls. I'd put it that way. You want him to make mistakes. You're not going to pressure the guy, most likely. You need to stop the running game first. So I put it this way. If it had been E.J. Manuel, it becomes pocket control okay. considerations. Not because he's going to run or anything like that, but you want to make him make the throws from there. With Orton, you're not game planning Kyle Orton. You're game planning the Buffalo Bills. So you're stopping Sammy Watkins. You're making sure you don't get hurt by the two
Bills
backs.
Bills always done this, where you yeah. take one thing that they yeah. do well and you try and minimize that, right?
Right.
And then try and everybody yeah. else just take care of their business.
So, and there are some weeks where it is what would affect the quarterback most. The game play this week is going to go, what is going to affect Orton most? It's going to be, how do I take Sammy Watkins off the field? How do I make sure C.J. Spiller doesn't have some monster game? And ball disruption. That's a big thing with this team. Both C.J. and Fred Jackson have an issue with the ball security in the past. So I think that's more the focus. Really, the quarterback becomes like third or fourth tier in the argument this week.
Well, I think the one thing you have to think about, though, and I think it was Fred Jackson who said this about Kyle Orton, it's good to see a veteran in that huddle. So now, granted, you do have to game plan for the offense and not the player, but I think when you have a player in the offense who now, when everybody, all the other 10 guys look at him and feel confident in him, it makes it a little difficult, you know, for that, if you're an opponent of that team, because these guys are going to kind of rally behind this guy when they might not have had that same type of respect or thought process when it was E.J. Manuel.
I worry about noise. I mean, this is going to be a hostile environment. You go up there, the ownership has kind of settled down. They know their team's going to be there. They can rally. They can get behind them. You know, let's flat-out face it. There's nothing else to do in Buffalo. You look at them on defense, though. Marcell Dareus, Mario Williams, a lot of big names on paper. Are they as good as the names on the paper advertised, Matt?
I think so, but I think they're very much a front four team. You're not going to get a better test, not necessarily of the overall team, but of front four work with Hughes, with Williams, with Marcell Dareus, and assuming Kyle Williams is healthy, again, he's been nicked up. But front four, all across the board, that's the test. So what I would say is, with all this offensive long line talk with the Patriots, if you meet this test, it doesn't get better than that for that particular yep. area of the game.
Yeah, and I would 100% agree with Matt on this one. I think when you look at it, what have we talked about with this Patriots and where they've been struggling? It's been up front with the offensive line. They played well against Cincinnati. Now you're going to have another test on your hand when you talk about front four. And if they can protect Brady, then I think we see a repeat of what we saw against Cincinnati.
Well, let's find out if they protect Brady, because coming up next, we got our predictions and our big game player. Who's the guy that's going to impact the game the most? That's all next on Patriots This Week.
Patriots This Week is brought to you by Putnam. New ways of thinking for financial advisors, their clients, and institutions worldwide. And by Waste Management. Remodeling or just have clutter to get rid of? Waste Management's new Bagster, dumpster in a bag, can take it on.
This is the week you want Jordan Cameron leading your fantasy team. Hampered by a shoulder injury, the Browns' tight end should be ready to bust out at home against the Steelers. Tampa Bay's Doug Martin has been a bust. Injuries haven't helped, but he has yet to return to last year's form. Sit him at home versus the Ravens. This week's sleeper is Kendall Wright. The Tennessee wideout has become Jake Locker's go-to guy, and they should be clicking at home this week against the Jaguars, who own the league's worst pass defense. Never miss a Patriots game this season with the combined power of NFL Mobile and Fios Quantum TV and Internet, exclusively from Verizon.
All right, welcome back to Patriots This Week. It's prediction time, and our buddy Jermaine Wiggins, he's the only one who kept the faith last week. He picked the Pats. Chatham and I got smoked. We got to believe what you see, right? You're only as good as your last game. Start with you, Matt Chatham. Give me a score and give me your impact player.
Well, my score is going to be Patriots 23-10. And my impact player, wait for it, Danny Amendola. Here's the reason. We're turning to the scene where the guys had some success. Remember the opening day game last year where he had a lot of success in that place. And don't think his success hinges on the number of catches or yards he has. Did a great job of blocking last week. Expect one or two big game-breaking plays and some other blocks that spring somebody else.
Wiggy, got to go to you.
My score is simple. I'm going Patriots 24, Bills 10. And my game changer is going to be that offensive line. I think when you look at it, it's going to be a great test. They had a good week against Cincinnati. Now can they build off it? I'm watching that offensive line. I think they're up for the challenge.
If I'm Josh McDaniels, if I'm Tom Brady, I'm not going to sleep all week long, because I can't wait to get down out there on the field and see Brandon Spikes in coverage, because I think he's a liability. My game changer is going to be any receiver that is matched up on Brandon Spikes. The score, Patriots 31, Bills 13. That's going to do it for this week's edition of Patriots This Week. For Matt Chatham, for Jermaine Wiggins, I'm Scott Zolak. Thanks for watching. We're going to see you next time on Patriots This Week.